Now it is time for our financial advice slot, and joining us as ever is Tommy Corbett from Kerry Corbett Financial Solutions. A very good morning to you.
Morning, Alan.
You are in today to give us your assessment, your economic review of the first half of 2023. It's like a State of the Nation address. Where are we? Let's first talk about the economic situation in the country. I mean, we reference often enough in the show the government and its budget surplus that it has taken in and will take in over the coming 2 years or so. Thank God for all that FDI. We're looking at billions upon billions. Figures of 65 billion bandied around. How are things looking at the moment?
Yeah, from, I suppose, an economic point of view, it looks very healthy. Like, you know, you're looking at an exchequer surplus of 258 million for the first 6 months of the year. Now, that was 4.2 billion last year, and you're wondering where did the 4 billion go? But that's basically gone into a kind of a national reserve fund. So we're more or less kind of the same as last year. Tax receipts, however, are up. So they're up to almost 41 billion, which is up 4 billion on last year, or 11%, or almost 11% income tax, up 1.3 billion, corporation tax up 1.8 billion, and VAT up 1.2 billion. So basically, the exchequer is swimming in cash, you know, so it's extremely healthy. And the exchequer returns are consistent with indicators such as labour market, business sentiment, business investment, and consumer spending. So again, I suppose predictions are that we're going to have a surplus of about 12 billion for 2023, which is really phenomenal when you look at what's going on around the globe, when you have other economies basically contracting, some possibly moving into a kind of recessionary basis, that we can still look at a surplus close to 12 billion for the 12 months, which is really, really positive. So, however, we're probably nearly, you know, operating at maximum capacity. We can see that, and I presume you see it every day, you know, with callers and that, in relation to maybe this, you know, the service sector, you know, the difficulty getting staff, difficulty in providing houses. And I know a lot of that is down to kind of like things like planning permissions, but there's obviously a capacity constraint in how many houses can you build, you know, do we have the labour, etc. So while there are huge positives, there are definitely pressures there also.
And the people will be, and we've talked about it a number of times in the show, Tom, people will be looking to the government to try and solve these problems because they have this pot of cash. And I guess the question is, do the government stick or twist? I mean, you know, Michael McGrann and Pascal Dunne have made enough noises kind of about maybe a cautious approach, rainy day funds, and, you know, look, we can't rely on foreign direct investment and these massive companies that are, you know, producing such a significant proportion of this money. We can't rely on that forever. There could be a day when some or all of them go, we need to keep some money for that rainy day. Others would say, well, you need to try and invest some of that money now to build the country up, to take care of housing and health and put infrastructure in that will help us cope further down the line should a day like that come.
Yeah, and I think today was it that Michael McGrath, I think, is bringing forward legislation to kind of protect that kind of a national reserve fund and protect infrastructure projects into the future, not just for now. So whether that's the rail corridor into Shannon or whether it's the one from Dublin Airport into the city, etc. So those kind of things, he's looking to basically protect those type of big infrastructure projects, not just when we have the money, but also when we may not have the windfall tax, as you say, from the big FDIs and that kind of thing, you know. But yeah, it's really is a balancing act. Like, one of the big stories of the year, if not the biggest story of the year, is inflation, like last year. But now, I suppose inflation last October was running at 9.2%. It's down, I think, to around 6.3 or 6.4%. I can't remember now. So it's moving in the right direction. 6.6% actually in May. So it's moving in the right direction. However, the knock-on effect of high inflation is higher interest rates. And the knock-on effect of higher interest rates means that people are paying more for their mortgages, for their loans.
You've reminded me, it's been 5 minutes since we've had an ECB interest rates hike. There should be another one along very shortly.
There are probably one or two more on the way, you know. I do feel that they may over-egg it and they may actually go too far, and if they do, they'll probably have to come back a little bit. But listen, that's crystal ball gazing. No one can really tell. The other obvious effect of high inflation is higher prices for goods and commodities and services, you know. So where people are, where the country itself on the macro side is really doing well, from receipts of income tax and VAT and corporation tax and that kind of thing, you know, people are being squares. And a lot of people on the lower end of the spectrum or the lower income end of the spectrum, you know, are really feeling the squeeze, you know, the squeeze middle, you know, they're paying probably more tax, they're paying more VAT, they're paying more for their, you know, regular weekly shopping, more for their mortgage and that kind of thing. Now, the funny thing is we're actually saving more as well as an economy. So I think 1 in every 4 euro is being saved at the moment. Now, that's the largest it has been or the most it has been since 2009. And you might say that's kind of a positive thing, but when people kind of save more, it's an indication that they're a little bit frightened, you know, that they're not tending to spend. So where we would always encourage people, you know, savings and that kind of thing, the indications are that people are a little bit frightened as to what's to come, you know, I presume with inflation and interest rates and that kind of stuff. So, you know, the country as a whole is saving about 1 in every 4 euros. Okay. At the moment.
Some people may be listening to that going, well, it's definitely not me contributing to that 1 in 4 euros being saved. Just to stick with that for a little moment, maybe dig a little bit deeper into how people's income and spending has been affected.
Yeah, so the average weekly earnings rose by 4.6% for the first quarter in 2023, and it's up in the second quarter. We don't have the figures of yet. However, obviously, you know, on the negative side, consumers have faced higher costs, like we said, due to the rising cost of living. The household debt-to-income ratio fell to 113% in March 2023. So that's basically, you're looking at what the income of each household is and what the debt ratio is set. So it's at 113%. In 2009, that was 209%. So it's almost halved in the last 14 years. What that means, basically, we're borrowing less, we're paying down our loans a lot more, and we're probably not inclined to borrow as much as we were back in the days of the Celtic Tiger. As I said, household saving rates rose to 25.4% in March, which is the highest since March 2009. And the total amount held by households on deposit is phenomenal at the moment. There's 152 billion sitting on deposit from households alone. Now, that doesn't include corporates and companies, that kind of, from households. There's 152 billion basically sitting in deposits, whether that's in the banks or the post office or the credit union. So, there are a huge amount of savings there at the moment.
152 billion, that is a massive, massive amount of money. Well, in terms of the risks and challenges then, as part of this economic review, the first half of the year, housing. You mentioned it earlier. Yeah. That's the
housing is the big one. Housing is the big one. I know, and I think they're up, you know, listening to stats over the last couple of days, I think they're up maybe 20% on new housing starts or finishes, I can't remember which, year on year. But the average house price in Ireland was 413,000 in May 2023, which is up 12.5% year on year. So it hasn't, it hasn't resolved itself. The average rent was 1,800 per month, which is up 9.4% year on year. The European averages are 250,000 for the average house price and 900 euros per month, respectively.
And those are figures that doesn't feel that long ago would have been applicable to Ireland.
Yeah.
Maybe a decade ago.
Yeah, not even a decade
not
ago,
even a
I'd
decade
say.
Ago,
like,
yeah.
I think average rent back in 2013 was around 500 euros a month. So a decade
it's
ago.
It's 1,800, nearly quadruples.
Yeah, and that has a huge knock-on effect on people's spending power. Yeah. Again, it's those renters that are being really squeezed. They're probably paying the most tax. They probably have childcare. You know, how do they get on the property ladder? You know, so they are really feeling it.
You'd have to wonder how housing is going to be solved. Even on yesterday's show, we were talking about the concrete levy and how that's going to increase house prices and make things. We're speaking to Larry Brennan of Woodhaven Developments and the problems it's causing for the construction sector who are dealing with inflation. It's hard to see how the housing crisis is going to be resolved.
Yeah.
Not to be too despondent about it.
Yeah, and there's so many different facets to it. I suppose, listen, the easy one to say is you need to build more houses, but obviously then you have constraints in relation to labour shortages and that kind of thing. I think the government is going to have to look at VAT on housing. They're going to have to look at the various levies. They're going to have to look at the red tape. You know, it's taken maybe 2 to 3 years for a housing estate maybe to go in for planning permission to actually end up getting it.
Decisions, yeah.
It's bananas, yeah, it's bananas. So you need, there's probably a multifaceted approach that needs to be taken, which is a little bit above my pay grade as to how to solve it. But, you know, we need more houses and we need them quicker, basically,
Where to next?
Yeah, just in relation to housing as well, it's one of the constraints for businesses as well is it's harder to attract kind of more FDI if those businesses aren't
nowhere to house their employees.
Absolutely, yeah. So it has a huge knock-on effect. Inflation is still hasn't gone away. As I said, it's down from a high of 9.2% in October to 6.6% in May. So it's moving in the right direction. But again, like we said, that leads to higher borrowing costs and capacity constraints, as I said, particularly in the construction sector. There's also other stuff going on outside of Ireland. What's happening in Eastern Europe, Ukraine, Russia, how are the US and China getting on? And they will all have knock-on effects for supply lines, that kind of thing. So these are all dangers, I suppose, that we could be facing over the next 6, 12, 18 months. And Brexit hasn't gone away, you know, so...
It feels like it'll never go away, to be honest. It's been with us for 7 years and no sign of moving.
It really does, yeah. It really does. And I think people are actually sick talking about it and listening to it. So we won't dwell too much on that. So, yeah, basically, while the economy has performed very well, we are really awash with cash like never before. There are, I suppose, dangers in that a lot of these, you know, taxes that we're bringing in, a lot of revenue we're bringing in are really from windfall corporation tax receipts. So we need to be careful. And I think a prudent approach by the government is probably the best approach without, you know, putting it all away. You obviously need to help those that need it most, you know, those needing a step up onto the property ladder. So that's a big challenge for them. Those that are, you know, the lower paid, you know, that kind of thing, they will probably need to be. So I think they're leaning more towards greater spending and less towards tax cuts in the next budget. So that'll be interesting.
And indeed, that was where I was going to go next, is Budget 24, in terms of what'll be in it. People, after last year's one, 11 billion, massive budget, although clearly, I suppose, I was going to say it didn't satisfy everybody. I suppose you're never going to satisfy everyone with a budget. People will expect a similar figure or in or around that for this budget. Yeah. It doesn't sound as if it's going to be quite that big.
No, I don't see it. I think it's around 3 to 4 billion of packages, and most of those, maybe 1 billion in tax cuts and 3 billion in extra spending. I think that's the kind of figure that's been bandied around.
It's been around half of what they're...
Yeah. And I don't think that's probably prudent, because the last thing you want to do is add fuel to the fire. You know what I mean? We're after bringing our inflation from 9.2 down to 6.6. We need to keep going in that direction by actually putting more money into people's pockets, where it's great in one sense, it actually only fuels inflation on the other end. So I think we have to be very, very prudent over the next year or two.
Yeah, that's something. I mean, the ECB have looked with a raised eyebrow just before with the energy credits and so on, that... the government were trying to help people. They felt that the overall European picture didn't really help in terms of inflation.
Yeah, and listen, it's politics at the end of the day. This could be the last budget before the next election. So we all know what kind of happens in those type of budgets. So, you know, I think they have to be prudent. But I think people are more sensible and they can see through giveaway budgets if it is for election reasons, you know. So I think they're going to be prudent. I hope they are. And at the same time, help those who need it most.
Okay, we all eagerly await the next budget to see what is in it. Thank you very much, Tommy, for taking us through that. Tommy Corbett from Kerry Corbett Financial Solutions with the Economic Review of the first half of 2023.